Chris, good morning.
Hey, man.
Hey, we are in week 5. We have 1 month down on this distributed way of working, this lockdown. You and I were doing pretty good. I think overall, the studio is doing pretty good. We're pretty lucky. Nobody has kids. So we're not, we don't have people running around the house all day. But Chris, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. I've been amazed how we've adopted more and more this way of working with the cloud and how everybody started to what we call work out loud. We're basically by communicating, generating our design documentation. It's been great.
I really think that what has happened, despite, you know, what may be looked at as quite detrimental, and I think for many people it is, I don't want to discard that fact. But I think for us, by the time we get back in the studio, it's going to make us so much stronger. And for me, that's super exciting. Obviously for everybody, there's different circumstances. But yeah, I think for us, we are just very lucky in the situation. So we've talked about this for the last few weeks, what's been going on in the studio, how we've been responding to it. Last week, we've been talking about what's been going on with people being stuck in their homes, how that reflects the news and the information they consume. This week, what I thought would be interesting to talk about is right before this podcast, right before we were recording, I had a phone call with a strategy director over at a bank in the UK. And we were sort of going back and forth on this interesting idea that so much has been pushed forward so quickly, right? In just the span of a couple months, you know, you see people who you never thought would be on video conference. You see society going, at least over here, going cashless much faster than you would have ever seen before. You see more people using online communication tools. And there's just so much that's been thrust, you know, for what would normally take 5 years is taking 2 months. So I think that would be an interesting topic for today. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, definitely. And I do agree. Like the cashless payments, they even prefer it now. We have a supermarket that delivers to our homes, and they actually don't even do cashless or contactless payments. But when they're at your door delivering the groceries, you complete the transaction inside of the app. So they don't even have to get within 1.5 meters from you, not even with their hands and their devices. It's been amazing to see how this kind of almost science fiction-like interaction has become daily practice.
I think for every industry, again, I see so many industries going about doing their normal jobs and waiting for everything to return to normal. And I think for the first few weeks, I was also like, I'll just wait for things to return to normal. However, I'm sensing that I didn't necessarily think through everything that was happening and what changes are going to stick, right? What changes are going to be around and how long we're going to be in some of these situations. And so one of the things I'm really curious about, not just about what's getting advanced, but specifically how we are using some of the tools we are using and how we are viewing those, and specifically AR and VR. That to me, I have this fascination now, right? We've been talking over the past few years in the studio about augmented reality, mixed reality, virtual reality. And now we have a situation where everybody is sitting at home, and it seems like the perfect situation for these types of technology.
So I actually do own an Oculus Quest, which is the lightweight entry VR product from Oculus or Facebook. And I've been using it. What I notice in the working from home is that we have a much longer focus time behind our desks. And there's even like advice in different working from home eBooks and stuff to not focus strongly for longer than 1.5 hours, because now I'm in a little office room by myself the whole day if I don't watch out, and I get really tired. So I've been using the Oculus Quest to play Beat Saber, actually, to cool down in between working sessions. And Beat Saber by itself is just a fun game. But what it actually does for me is when I put on that headset, I am no longer in my 500 square feet apartment, but I am in whatever sort of synthwave world that they want to build up there. And it really feels like I'm not like I'm going outside for a bit, but I'm somewhere else for a little bit. And it's really helping me cool down from work.
What I've thought is interesting about this, I don't have any virtual reality headsets. I wouldn't mind getting one if I could get like an Oculus Go, but unfortunately they don't sell them here, or at least not last time I checked. I don't know, maybe you know better than I do. But what I'm starting to realize is we've had a lot of client interactions and companies looking at augmented reality. And I start to think everybody thought like, okay, augmented reality is what's coming next, right? And then somewhere down the road, here comes virtual reality. I'm wondering if we got that wrong, right? Is virtual reality going to be the leapfrog? Just like if I look at Asia, you know, everybody in the European and American world was like, oh, of course, there's laptops. And you're like, well, actually, we just jumped forward to mobile phones. I'm wondering if, because of this entire situation, if this lasts long enough, is augmented reality still relevant? And will VR make this complete leapfrog jump?
Yeah, I think augmented reality and by proxy, mixed reality is the tougher problem to solve, right? You're projecting a world or objects inside of the real world, whereas virtual reality, you don't really care about the real world, except maybe, or if I whack my hand into the wall, as far as safety is concerned. But with mixed reality, what you need to do is you need to scan the real world outside and then attach meaning to that, or have objects float inside of that space and interact with that space. And it's actually... it's always just because we work with Magic Leap, and I have worn those glasses inside of my apartment. And even though it's really cool to play Angry Birds on the floor in my house, I'm still doing it by myself. My wife still looks at me like I'm crazy. And when I put on Beat Saber, at least I have my own world, and it's not bothered by what my house is. So it's a very different medium that allows you to experience a very different world. And I think VR is much better and much more immersive than mixed reality is.
Yeah, I've experimented with the Magic Leap glasses, and there is something very pleasing about using them. But right now, everything that I see is gimmick. With augmented reality overall, not with Magic Leap, but with augmented reality overall, it's just... the quality of the hardware, the quality of the experiences aren't there yet. And why I think that's important is if you don't have the quality of experiences, then are you really going to end up using that if it's not an experience you want, it's not the quality you want? Or to your point, can I get totally transformed into this other world? And while that may also not have the quality, it doesn't have the constraints of the physical world. It transports me someplace else. And I think that is such a powerful leap that... you know, I watch so many people on Instagram, on Facebook, talking about, you know, whether that's anxiety from being stuck inside, whether that's anxiety about what is happening health-wise, whether it's anxiety about jobs. For one moment, as you said with Beat Saber, you are able to transform everything around you. And I just don't wonder if that's such a powerful experience that if this continues for the next year and a half in some way, shape, or form, right? If this continues through 2020 and through 2021, are we going to see more people who want to check out of current reality and check into something that can be crafted in any way, shape, or form that we can imagine?
Yeah, for sure. And it's the most immersive way of escapism we have. You almost have to imagine nothing because it gives you everything. It gives you the sights and the sounds, not the feelings, not the smells, not the taste, but the most immersive part is sight and sound. And what I actually think is cool is that right now we're talking through video chat, and that's the closest we've been in the past 5 weeks, even though we normally work in an office together. So you're already a digital representation of yourself. And VR is always seen as this solitary experience because you wear that bulky thing on your head and you close off the world. But actually, we're seeing lots of social apps coming out for VR. Facebook is working on a whole world inside VR where you can do whatever you feel like doing. And it's all about hanging out. There's an app for the Oculus Quest called Big Screen, where you go to the movie theater together. You see the other people as avatars, and now with hand tracking, you can actually sort of do little dances and stuff, and the feeling of the presence of your friends is getting better. You can recognize them, you can see them, you can hear them speak while you're watching a movie together in virtual reality. And as we're looking into the future where movie theaters actually might not exist for quite some time because we have to sit too far away from each other to make them work, it's actually quite interesting that in VR, the movie theaters are flourishing right now, and you can watch movies together with your friends on the couch.
So many people, when they picture VR, right, they do picture people with these very clunky headsets on. They're very heavy and thinking like, oh God, why would I want to wear that inside? But you shared something a little while ago with me. I forget the company, but it was literally like a pair of goggles that were doing virtual reality, and it looked almost like sunglasses. What it made me think of is I remember when Snapchat Spectacles first came out, or let me go back one further, when Google Glass came out, and you just looked not very stylish. I'll say it in a positive way. And then we jump forward and we look at Snapchat Spectacles, and those looked pretty cool, but they were still pretty heavy. The latest instantiation of Snapchat Spectacles are pretty slick. Unfortunately, I just don't use them. They're not connected to the service that I oftentimes use. But man, once you get over some of those hardware problems and you find it really easy to have on your face, we talked about this in Let's Fix Things years and years and years ago, that the battle for the eyes, right? People think like, okay, I'm battling for the home with Google and Alexa and Apple, and I'm battling for the car, right? The car is now inconsequential. We do have a battle for the home, but now what is the home if I can transport myself to another realm? And it feels like now the battle for the eyes is going to intensify. Or I can imagine, if I think of what the big tech companies are talking about now, what that strategy is, the battle for the home will probably intensify, the battle for your eyes, and the battle to essentially create a new world, right? Who's going to own that?
Yeah, and I think the hardware is definitely increasing in what it does and in how much separation it can create and in how there's a gradient between that level of separation. So the glasses I sent you a while ago were the Panasonic glasses.
Ah, yes.
And they
yes.
literally look like a pair of eyeglasses, and they have HDR screens in them. The field of view is smaller, but it's enough to watch a movie on a plane, right? So that doesn't no longer mean like a big Windows computer at your house and a cable and a headset on your head. Even the Oculus Quest is super portable, and you can just chuck it in a backpack and take it with you. So it's getting more and more portable. And you see solutions like Magic Leap even that have a small computer that you can take with you if you need more computing power. But there's actually also other glasses coming out, and you see the Valve Index. For instance, it's a pair of glasses that allows you to change the front that's on there. So they allow you to add different sensors for a higher resolution hand tracking maybe in the future, or even make a blend and make it no longer purely VR, but make it a choice to go from VR to mixed reality. Even the Oculus glasses and the Vive glasses already have a functionality where the outside tracking cameras can turn on once you walk outside of a virtual boundary that you set to make sure that you don't walk into the kitchen table or wherever you're playing your VR. So the hardware is already kind of ready for mixed reality. And I think we shouldn't see VR and mixed reality as two separate things, since the hardware can handle both in the near future.
That's interesting. Yeah, I had been thinking of them as two different things. But to your point, if I'm wearing just like a clear, transparent visor, they don't have to be two different things. They can be one and the same. Yeah, I'm curious, for a lot of people listening to this, it's, you know, right now the hardware is not cost competitive. There's not enough software out there. But again, I go back to that conversation with the strategy director at the bank that I just had, asking, you know, if we've already seen so much happen in just the last 1 or 2 months, if this maintains for another 3 months, let's say 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, if it maintains in some way, shape, or form, what advancements are we going to see that are going to make the leap that would have taken 3 years, 5 years, 10 years that we're going to get now? And to me, it seems like this would be a big one. I hope.
I think everybody, especially designers, are now constantly reinventing themselves and trying new things. And for instance, my wife and I, we've recently bought a new apartment, but it's actually still under construction and it's going to be finished only in 2 years. And we're doing a project together where we want to figure out what furniture to get, how big is this space, and we want to get a sense of it. And being a designer, we want a prototype. So I'm building a 3D model of my new house that I can actually view on the Oculus Quest, so we can walk around in the living room and get a sense of the scale, get a sense of where the sun enters the house and all of those things. And we've constantly been asking ourselves, why don't interior designers just have VR glasses there for their clients? I really don't see. It cost me very little time to go from a technical drawing from my house to something that I could walk around in virtual reality. For our current office at Argo, we actually already worked with an agency that made a 3D model. I just don't know why we're not using VR for this. And I think coming out of this, everybody will have experienced some ways, shapes, or forms of this. And I think it'll bring a change with us. If not just a product that we're going to build at Argo. I don't know.
Last week, we talked about the entire idea, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, because we are now working in a completely distributed world, or again, for information workers, for tech workers who have this privilege, we are working in a distributed world. So before, we used to think of Argo as Argo Austin, Argo New York, Argo Amsterdam. Now it doesn't matter, right? Because everyone is essentially an office of one. Maybe there's some time zone issues in there. What this entire conversation has made me think of is, again, going back to some old themes from old school, let's fix things, old school dark side of design, where we were asking the question about digital friends. Does it matter where my friends are at this moment? I have a lot of friends in Malaysia. I have friends in Mexico, and I only get to see them once every 4 years, you know, or the ones in Malaysia once every year. But if I could see them in augmented or virtual reality, right now we get to chat, right? Right now we get video, and that is a way to approach it. But it would just be so much nicer if you could enter that digital world. I mean, people have been writing about this for decades and decades and decades, but to enter that visual world and have that just heightened level of connection with somebody, and then it really doesn't matter where you are in the world. You are never limited by location.
Yeah, I think there's a little nuance to that, but physical distance doesn't matter, but time zone distance does. So basically just pick all of your friends on the same longitude or within the same time zone. It doesn't matter how far north or south they are, as long as they're not too far east or west.
I reject your claim. But I get what you're saying. I do understand that. It goes back to the conversation of from an old Dark Side of Design episode, the other podcast that we used to do years ago, of saying, you know, are each one of us going to have bots of ourselves in the future? And that's a whole nother topic. But I think that's just incredibly interesting.
Yeah. So Westworld season 3 is out. I've watched the first 2 episodes. It got a lot less confusing and a lot better. And some of these topics that you're hinting towards now are definitely right in the heart of the series.
So I did just get through the book Fall or Dodge in Hell, which is the follow-along book to Reamed or Read Me from Neal Stephenson. That was a lot less cool. So Reamed was great, but it has all of these contexts of people entering virtual worlds. It's similar. It's the sort of more, I'll say, adult version of Ready Player One or For the Win, which I think both of those books were great. But Reamed, I think, steps it up to a whole new level of how you describe the world around you, this virtual world that could be created. So Khus, we're trying to respect time. We're trying to make sure we don't go too far over. So I'll let you close it out. Where do we want to end on this?
Yeah. So I can't wait until we all get virtual reality glasses sent from our company and we give up our offices and we just have our virtual office where we can meet and do our brainstorms.
I also can't wait to give up on life.
Exactly. That's it.
I think people would listen to what you just said and be like, and we're all dead. Okay.
Are we asking for the Matrix again? Yes, we are.
So I think to caveat that, because I know you like to go outside, it's not a replacement for the real world, but it is an extension. It is a delta. It is something new to explore. And I'm with you. I would absolutely love to do it as well.
I would love to be able for all our 3 studios to just have a virtual space where we can meet as if it's in real life without having to get on a plane.
Love it. Okay, man. Well, we will talk next week. And I guess, what do we sign off with now? Stay healthy? I don't know.
Stay inside.
Have another coffee. I'll talk to you later.
Bye, man.